everyone. This is Luke Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Larry Long Jr., and this gentleman is the director of collegiate sales at TeamWorks. This is a firm that provides IT solutions to sports-affiliated organizations. And Larry has a demonstrated history of success in sales, and he also loves to teach people sales, and is pretty good at it. He's passionate about coaching, and he helps sales professionals take their game to the next level. And he's someone who knows how to sell. He has a proven track record of hitting goals and obviously helping others to sell as well and to hit their goals. And he's also passionate not only about sales but about sports and IT. And at his job, he gets to fulfill all three of those passions. So he hit the trifecta. And they say if you enjoy what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. And that's the boat Larry's in. So my hat is off to him. And he is someone who is a vibrant, explosive ball of energy. And as a result, he's a dynamic, motivational speaker. And I'm not saying when he speaks in front of crowds, he knows how to motivate, but with everyone he speaks with, even one-on-one, he knows how to motivate you. And so he's also involved with venture capital as well. And so we're very lucky to have Larry here. He's a very busy man, so he's able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So thank you, Larry, for coming on. I guess to start off, can you talk to us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today?
Sure thing. Luke, first I want to say thank you for hosting me. It's an honor and a privilege to be here on the Deep Voice Man Show. I've got to get some more bass in my voice if I want to compete with you. I got a little bit too much treble. But my journey, it's really been an adventure. And sometimes it's been a misadventure, but I tell you one thing that isn't missing. We've had fun along the way. So I graduated from University of Maryland, played baseball for the Terps. Go Terps. I'm a legacy. My father ran track for the Terps. My sister ran track for the Terps. I was the oddball, or they call me the black sheep of the family, by playing baseball, literally and figuratively the black sheep, but that's neither here nor there. I started off my professional career at Accenture doing IT consulting. Wasn't passionate about it, moved to North Carolina, opened an indoor baseball and softball academy. When that didn't work out, I went into tech sales, and I've worked for 6 different companies, 8 different jobs. I returned to 2 of the companies, left and came back, and now I'm lucky to be working with TeamWorks, technology for elite athletes. And our mission is to empower and engage elite athletes. And as the director of collegiate sales, I have the awesome opportunity to work with college sports teams and athletic departments.
Okay.
So that's pretty much been my journey. In addition to TeamWorks, I also provide motivation, inspiration, sales, keynote speaking, training, consulting. I'm on a couple boards. I help out with the Wake Med, which is a hospital, their foundation as a fundraiser. I also work with Helios, which helps necessity-driven entrepreneurs here in Durham, North Carolina, with both resources, financial resources and funding, as well as training resources, and just really privileged to be in a position where I can help others to with their entrepreneurial efforts. So life is good, and I'm living the dream now here on your show. Just an honor and a privilege.
That's amazing. That's an incredible story. And it's great that you give back. And obviously so much has been given to you, and obviously you give back. And that's great. You do things to the hospital, and you do things to help other entrepreneurs find their way. And it's also curious how, you know, you may have gone from one thing to the next. And, you know, some people may call that failure or whatnot, you know, when you started the sports academy and you did something else afterward. But, you know, there's no such thing as failure. It's only learning experiences. That's what an interview guest told me, and it really stuck with me. And obviously over the years, you've learned quite a lot. And from, you know, hiccups, maybe setbacks and whatnot. So I think that's incredible and amazing. And I used to work in sales, so I know how tough sales can be, so to speak. And so I'm always fascinated by people like yourself who go into sales and they succeed and do well with it. And so obviously we all sell. We're all in the selling business. Even people who don't think they sell, they sell. So people like yourself definitely fascinate me as well. And so essentially you worked in IT consulting. But I'm guessing what may have been missing is you needed IT and you needed sports and you needed sales. You needed all of that into one, I think. Do you think that was the case? Or
it definitely was. So, I mean, I've sold to CPAs, certified public accountants. I've sold to medical practices, doctor's offices, e-commerce retailers. Software companies. I've sold to other software companies and their product teams, and now I'm really at the trifecta of everything that I really enjoy. I love sports, I love technology, and I love leading sales professionals. And you're right, you mentioned it earlier, sales is definitely tough. It's
right.
Funny because my keynote speech is sales is not a four-letter word. It'll make you say some four-letter words, but I absolutely love it because when I think about sales, my definition is playing matchmaker. You get to match whatever your product, whatever your service, your thought or idea with someone else's needs, their wants, desires, hopes, dreams, aspirations, and if you can help them to win, guess what? You get to win as well.
Right.
There's no better feeling in the world than to help people win and you win as well. That's a win-win-win.
Right.
Win. I feel like the rapper. All I do is win, win, win no matter what. Come on now. You get me hype over here. Come on, Luke.
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting me hype, man. I'm feeling you getting my juices flowing and whatnot. And, you know, it's interesting. I love the idea of being a matchmaker. It's something about when you match two people together. That's why I send out all these connection emails. And when people come together, you get there's a certain kick you get out. You're like, I made that happen, and you feel real good about it. You know, I guess it's hard to explain or to kind of put into words. I definitely hear you on the matchmaker thing, and I can tell you're a guy who loves a challenge, like every athlete. You love a challenge. You don't want something to be easy. So I can understand that love of sports and also that love of sales. Because obviously sales is not a four-letter word. It makes you say four-letter words, but it's something that you have to work at. And the fact that you get to teach people in sales and be a coach is amazing as well. I would definitely come to you if I needed help in sales. There's no doubt about it. And since we're always selling and whatnot. And I'm curious now, obviously you've been having a lot of success when it comes to sales and teaching people sales and whatnot. But we all know that unless someone's been living under a rock, we have this pandemic situation going on. And I'm curious, what challenges have been posed by the pandemic when it comes to the current state of, I guess, business and sales and whatnot?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really, from my perspective, it's really exposed the lack of true professionalism in the sales industry. So when things are going well, sales professionals have been able to get away with being sloppy. And I say we take it back to the basics, the basic foundations of sales. And like I said before, if you're in sales and you're in it for yourself, me, 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 you're going to have a tough time long term. Mm. You might be able to get away with it short term, but what we found is that in challenging times, those folks that don't have a good foundation, they've struggled. And by good foundation, I mean having that customer centricity, putting your customer, putting your prospect at the center of everything you do. And I use a term called me monster. If you're a me monster and all you care about is me, 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 you're going to have a tough time because sales is about you, 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 you. How can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I make sure that I partner and I match my solution with your specific needs? I'll give you an example real quick. If you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Hey, Luke, thanks for coming in. We're going to give you ankle surgery tomorrow." You'll probably look at the doctor and say, "What are you talking about, Willie? I told you that it's my shoulder. What are you talking about, ankle surgery?" That's what a lot of sales professionals used to do. They wouldn't listen. And I'll be honest with you, my word of 2021 is listen.
Right.
If you're in sales and you're doing more talking than you are listening, you're missing an excellent opportunity to be able to serve and add value to your prospects and your clients. Remember, it's not about you. You got to take that microphone out of your hands and put it in your customer's hands, your prospect's hands, and truly listen so that you can make that appropriate match.
Wow. That's amazing. And thank you so much for that. I think that's incredible that even though the times may have changed, whether we're going through good times and bad times, when it comes to sales, it's all about the basics. If you have that strong foundation, your wall, your building will still stand, so to speak. But so many salespeople had that weak foundation. They relied a lot on being pushy or desperate in terms of, they were being what you call the me monster. And, we all have dealt with that pushy salesperson that relies on high-pressure tactics. And, I used to work in sales, and there were a lot of guys like this. And they would oftentimes there would be the same type of guys who would be dishonest in terms of selling a product to a prospect. And it was, that catches up to you, obviously. And as you know, that when the tide rolls back, the people you see swimming naked, they're exposed, so to speak. And I think that's quite the case, because I think only the top salespeople can survive who know the fundamentals and basics during these very tough times and these tough periods. And so, you mentioned the importance of listening, and listening is an active skill. It's not a passive skill. It's actually quite active. it's curious how, we all have two ears and one mouth. So that means we've got to do twice as much listening as we do talking. Listening is so key, and listening is not just for salespeople, it's for everyone to know how to do in terms of building relationships and rapport and whatnot. You mentioned taking the microphone out of your hand and giving it to the other individual, the possible client or prospect, and in many ways we're all selling, so I guess this sales advice can apply to everyone who may not work in a traditional sales role. So that's why I love sales so much, because it applies to all of us, even though people may not really understand that. And so, you talk about the importance of basics and fundamentals, and I think that's so key. It always goes back to basics and fundamentals, same as in sports. The best athletes master the fundamentals, master the basics and whatnot, and they understand how important that is. Now, I'm curious, obviously there'll be a time when the pandemic goes away, hopefully sooner rather than later. Particularly with the ramped up distribution of the vaccines. Where do you see things going in the future, and where do you see yourself in that future?
Yeah, so the future looks bright. But once again, it's an opportunity for the cream to rise to the top. For those that are able to really master the fundamentals, build a good foundation, they're going to have a ton of success, because every organization needs sales. I don't care if you're in education, you got to sell. People are selling, even if they don't have the official title. We're all selling. You think about it. I've got two kids at 7:30 a.m. every morning. I'm selling them on why they need to get up and brush their teeth and wash and get ready for school and the importance of education. We're all selling. You go on an interview, you're selling. You made a point earlier, and I love it, in terms of the pushy salesperson. I don't call those people sales professionals. I call them scam artists. And there's a term called commission breath. Most people can smell commission breath from a mile away, and it's funky. I don't care how many tic tacs you have. It's tough to get rid of commission breath. If you don't truly care about those people you serve, it's going to shine through bright, and they're going to go the other direction in most cases. I practice what I preach. And it's funny that you and I are talking, because on April 1st, I've got an online, on-demand sales training course that's going to be live. It's called Sales 101, The Basics. And it's really the basic fundamentals for all sales professionals. Time management, discovery, prospecting, demo, pipeline management, and closing. And we look at it from a different lens. I brought 14 of my closest colleagues and friends along to share gems and to share wisdom. And we're creating a community, a network of professional sellers to support each other. And essentially, that's called the Sales Allies. TheSalesAllies.com, rolling out April 1st. So I'm just super excited to be able to impact other sales professionals and those that might not even be in sales yet, being able to support them along this journey so that they can then support their prospects and their clients. So as we look forward to the future, it is bright. There's a huge, tremendous opportunity for those professional sellers that are able to master the basics to go out and have great success.
Wow, that's amazing. And yeah, I do, too, believe that the future is bright for salespeople, because there's always going to be a need for sales. As you mentioned, every organization needs salespeople, and a sale makes everything possible. You look around, everything you see was made possible. It was done through a sale, and so sales is so critical. Sales is what drives whole entire economies when you think about it. And so it's, people really, really, I think, truly don't understand how important sales is and that we all need to be learning these skills. And you talked about how some high-pressure, kind of salespeople are sort of like, you don't really call them salespeople, you call them scam artists, I agree, and they have commission breath. You can smell almost the desperation on them. And obviously, I think there may not really be a future for those guys, because obviously with the internet, more people doing their research before they buy anything and looking at reviews, I think it's going to get tougher and tougher to sell that way, to sort of trick people and to use these dishonest tactics and whatnot. And, as a salesperson, you really have to truly provide value to a client, like real value, if you want to stay successful doing it. And I see that, you do that. You want to be a matchmaker. You come from, you have the concept in your mind of helping others. And I think that's so important. Now, you mentioned before, it's sort of like being a doctor. Now, a good doctor is going to give you questions about, where does it hurt? What are your symptoms? And then based on the answers, they'll give you a diagnosis and a prescription. They're not going to just prescribe ankle surgery right away before they give you any questions. That wouldn't make any sense. And so I think more and more people are understanding that to sell effectively, you have to give folks probing questions. And then, people will give you the answers on how to close them, on how to sell to them. And that's so important for salespeople to take those answers and to provide a personalized, customized solution and whatnot. And so I'm curious now. Obviously, there are a lot of people who can who teach sales. A lot of sales coaches out there, and trainers and whatnot. I'm wondering what competitive advantage do you have as a sales coach, as an individual who teaches people the art of sales, and what makes you unique and maybe more effective than others?
I love it. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. There's no other Larry Long Jr. that's out there. You've never met anyone that's like me. And I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. But just my life experiences, my professional experiences, coming from an athletic background, growing up around elite athletes, both my father, my sister's 10 years younger, but performing at one of the highest levels, playing baseball in the ACC, taking what allowed me to be successful on the baseball diamond into the boardroom and into the arena of sales, it's just a unique perspective. And essentially, I'm not going to overpromise. It's not like I'm offering anything groundbreaking, but I'm stressing the basic fundamentals, which if you look back at Kobe Bryant, and there's been stories of Kobe working on basic footwork. This is one of the best players in the world. Working on basic footwork of how to make a layup, and you look at it, why is he doing that? Because he understood that if he didn't master the basic footwork of a layup, there's no way that he would be able to build upon that good base
and become the greatest in all aspects of the game. So as sales professionals, we all know that time management is important. But I know, because I talk to hundreds of sales professionals every month, that time management is a huge struggle. And there's a saying, I think it's Jim Rohn, either you manage your day or your day will manage you. So I encourage anyone listening, if you don't believe me, go ahead and open up your calendar. And let me see, if I can see your calendar, I can tell you what's important. I can tell you whether you're intentional. I can tell you what you prioritize. And if you don't have anything on your calendar, we better call the ER, because since as a sales professional, I'm surgical. And you talked about it in terms of the power of questions, the power of discovery. Tony Robbins, he has a quote that says, the most successful people ask the best questions, and therefore they get the best answers. So the question I ask you is, what questions are you asking, number one, of yourself? And then number two, what questions are you asking of your colleagues, of your clients, of your prospects? And when you ask those questions, are you listening to truly understand the situation, or are you only listening to respond?
Yeah, that's so true. You know, it's funny how so many people say they're great listeners, but are they really? You know, I'm one of those people that thinks listening is actually not a common skill as people think it is, because it takes brain power to actually listen. It's an active activity to listen, to suspend your agenda and to actually listen to what someone's saying. And a lot of people aren't good at it. And unfortunately, a lot of salespeople are very poor at this. And it's interesting how you talk about the basic fundamentals, how it's not easy, but it's simple. But so many sales professionals are not following it. Now, you said you're in contact, of course, with hundreds of sales professionals, and probably a minority are actually doing this simple advice. And it goes back to, I guess, the sort of work ethic that you had as an athlete when you played baseball, and what you saw, from other athletes, elite athletes, ones in your family and whatnot. And so it's curious that, you took what you saw in sports and as you left the sports world and the athletic world, you still carried with you that work ethic, that mindset and whatnot. And that's incredible. And obviously, it goes back, it's interesting how so many analogies apply to life from sports, particularly with baseball. I don't know if you noticed that, and I'm sure you have, and so it's so amazing. And and you talked about the importance of managing time. Now, everyone gets 24 hours in a day, but what are you doing with that time? You know, a wise man once told me that time is the most valuable commodity that one could have, so it shouldn't be wasted. It should be spent wisely, so to speak. And so a person has to put, when you mentioned the calendar, people have to put activities on that calendar to show that they're scheduling out their time. They're doing, they're putting things down that they have to do and being organized and whatnot. I think that's amazing. And the questions, people have to give themselves questions. And obviously questions are an important part of the sales process. And it's interesting how so many salespeople are not following this simple, basic formula. But that's why there's you, to teach sales professionals the basics and whatnot. Now, you mentioned that you're doing something in April. I believe it was April 1st. And I think that's something that I may want to tune into as well, of course. I'm going to check my calendar. So thank you for sharing that. And so I guess I'm curious. Now, obviously, sales, it's a big deal for people to know how to do that. But also, I'm sure you'd agree, the idea of networking also helps when it comes to sales, building relationships and whatnot. And I was wondering, what advice would you give to people, particularly sales professionals, when it comes to networking, so they can maybe mostly rely on or solely rely on referrals? Because once you're getting lots of referrals, that's great as a salesperson. What networking advice would you give to people?
Yeah, number one, you've got to be genuine. And we've all heard the term, your network is your net worth. And I heard from a sales trainer down in Florida, Steve Nudelberg, he told me, this was about 7 years ago. He said, Larry, what I've learned in my 30-plus years of selling is that the difference between contacts, people that you know, and contracts, people that you do some sort of business with, is the letter R. And that letter R stands for relationship. So if you want to go from contacts, people you know, to contracts, you've got to focus on relationships. And we've all heard it's not what you know, it's who you know. And he said, hey, it's not what you know and it's not even who you know. It's who knows you and who trusts you and who believes in you that really makes it happen. So I encourage folks that, number one, you got to actually care about people in order to develop relationships. Number two, it takes intentional time and effort and resource. It's kind of like gardening. I'm not very good at gardening plants, but I know my wife is out there watering, making sure the plants get sunlight, sometimes rolling up her sleeve and putting down that funky fertilizer. I think they call that manure. It stinks, but it works. There's a there's a challenge that I got. It's called the hashtag. It's not the mannequin challenge where you got to stay still. This is called the hashtag 3-minute challenge, and it's really designed to strengthen relationships that you have. Every day, it just takes 3 minutes. Find someone in your Rolodex. You can go through your phone, just scroll through, and pick someone. Find something that you can do that only takes 3 minutes to surprise and delight them. So if I know that you're a New York Knicks fan, all I need to do is go online, go to Google, and say New York Knicks championship runs. I'm sure I can find a picture of Patrick Ewing, John Starks in their heyday, Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
I'm going to print, essentially copy that picture, email it to you, text it to you, send it to you via social media and say, hey, guess what, Luke? I was thinking about you, dog. That right there lets people know that you're thinking about them. You're not asking for anything in return, but you're just making a deposit, and you're giving.
Right.
And if you do that each and every day, you give and you give and you give and you give, your bank account, your relationship bank account will be overflowing.
Yeah.
So that now when you look to make a withdrawal, and I don't know about you, Luke, I used to own a business, and we didn't have much money. We ran out of money. I've been to the bank before. And I've had them laugh, and they said, hey, Mr. Long Jr., you're trying to withdraw money. You're funny. Unless you're a magician, you haven't made any deposits. You can't withdraw any money. It's the same thing with relationships. So many times folks want to make a withdrawal. They haven't made any deposits. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, and that's amazing advice. And thank you for sharing it. And, you know, you hear something similar like this all the time. You know, I give this question to a lot of professionals, a lot of successful people, and they talk about the value of giving, providing value to others. And it's so true. And, you know, Cialdini talks about this in his book, Influence, this law of reciprocity. And it's almost like human nature. When someone does something for you, you want to do something for them. And, you know, it's important for people to kind of take advantage of that universal principle. And I think Bob Berg talks about it in his book, Go Giver, which I recommend to everyone. And also Give and Take by Adam Grant, another good one. This critical thing that I think every successful person has to do, or anyone who wants to be successful, is to give. And, you know, you find this among all successful people, that they always like to give. And that's one of the ways they became successful. And you talked about the idea of being intentional. You have to go out of your way to give. I love the 3-minute challenge. I'm definitely going to apply it myself. And you know, it's something I do in my personal life when it comes to networking. I always like to give out connection emails. It's something so simple, and you get a big impact from it. And you know, I like to again play matchmaker. And you talked about being genuine. You have to. It goes back to what you said before. If you want to be good at sales, you have to care about the other person. You can't try to trick or scam them. You actually have to care about them. And it goes with networking as well. To be genuine, care about them, find out what they need, and see if you can help them in any which way. And I think that's so important. It also helps to remember people's birthdays and anniversaries, so you can reach out to them and say happy birthday, whether on social media and whatnot, and also mailing out thank you cards, I think is really, really helpful when it comes to networking and whatnot. So I think the advice you just shared with us is amazing. And so obviously, you know, you have the fundamentals now, you have the basics and whatnot. You know a lot more than others, I would say, when it comes to success and sales and whatnot and building relationships. And I'm sure you've helped many people. I'm curious, can you tell us the most entertaining or moving stories from your life or career?
Oh, wow. There's so many. I mean, my whole life story is entertaining.
I'm sure it is.
I don't know if this is the most entertaining, but graduated college. I didn't get drafted. Thought I would be playing pro baseball in the minor leagues. I never got the call. So I went and worked for a company called Accenture doing IT consulting. My first project was in Morgantown, West Virginia. My client was Verizon. And I was working, and February came around, and I still had the itch. I was still working out, still keeping myself in shape. And I said, hey, I need to take some time off. I'm going to go to minor league spring training for a tryout. They said, hey, we wish you all the best. Good luck. Hopefully we won't see you back. Well, I go down there. I go to the Dodgers minor league spring training. I see Tommy Lasorda around, and I go to my little tryout, and they're like, yeah, you can keep it moving. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. So then I went over to the Red Sox spring training across on the other side of Florida, and unfortunately they told me the same thing. So I said, what do I do now? I had some friends that were in Miami, South Beach, for spring break, and I said, let me go on over there, drown out my sorrows. I end up going to work, and they said, Larry, what you doing back so soon? I said, you see what happened was. So it was one of those things where I can't say bittersweet because it was just bitter. That was that was a goal of mine to play pro baseball, but it wasn't in the cards. The great thing is that I can look in the mirror and I realize that I gave it my all and it just wasn't meant to be. Now, having my baseball academy, that was the opportunity to help other kids realize that, hey, even though you want to play pro baseball, even though I encourage you, you got to make sure that you take care of your studies because your grades and your degrees, your diploma, no one can take that away. Baseball, basketball, football, any sport can be taken away at the drop of a dime. All it takes is one injury, and your athletic career is over. But a sense of your mind is going to be with you, hopefully forever. And a sense of that's the biggest thing is that, hey, sports doesn't define you. It shouldn't define you. It's a piece of who you are, but it shouldn't be everything that you are. So I've been really fortunate, Luke. I don't know if that's the most entertaining story. I'm sure I've had other crazy stories, but, yeah, that's the one that I'm going to stick to.
That's an amazing story. And I think it's something that a lot of young athletes should keep in mind. And even pro athletes, they still have to have something to fall back on because obviously as their body leaves grows out of their physical prime, as they get older as athletes and they start to slow down and they retire, they have to think about what they're going to do next. And I think, you know, you mentioned Kobe Bryant, and Kobe Bryant had it planned out in terms of what he wanted to do after his pro career. You know, I think he played with the Lakers for around 19, 20 years, and he wanted to get into venture capital, which I think you're also involved with as well, and, you know, in business and whatnot. And so it's great for athletes to have something planned out after sports. And obviously have something planned if they don't get into pro sports and whatnot. So you always want to have that plan B or plan C and D and E and F, so to speak. And so, yeah. And, you know, you gave it your all, and that's great because so many older people, when they interview them right before they die, and there was a book written about this, you know, a nurse who dealt with a lot of older people in a hospice. They said one of the biggest regrets they had was they didn't live the life that they wanted to live. They lived the life others wanted them to live. And you can, and that won't happen to you because you gave it your all to be a pro athlete and whatnot. And so you can look at yourself in the mirror and see that, you know, you gave it your 110% and whatnot. So again, thank you so much. for that amazing story. I think I find it very inspirational and whatnot. And I'm curious, now obviously you're good at giving great advice like you did to the people who wanted to the kids who wanted to be pro athletes. What advice would you give to folks who want to get into sales, who want to do what Larry's doing, what you're doing, and they want to, you know, put their toe into the sales ocean? What would you say to them?
I would say go for it. Go for it, but make sure that your why, the reason why, is in the right place. If your reason why is because you want the opportunity to serve others, to help others, you believe in a product, you believe in a service, you believe in a cause, you believe in the thoughts and ideas, by all means, go for it. There are some folks that go for it all because of the money. And I'm not saying that money isn't important. That would be a lie. Money is very important.
Mm-hmm.
That's your core reason of why you want to get into sales is just the money. I got news for you. It's probably not going to fulfill you. I've met plenty of people, and you talked about kind of nurses that work with folks in their last days of their life, talking about life fulfilled or unfulfilled and not living their best life and doing what they wanted to do.
Right.
That's something I would encourage everyone to not go down that path. If you really believe in your heart and you believe in your mind that you have a servant mindset, an action mindset to help others, and you said it before, go giver. I think Young Jeezy has a song called Go Getter, and I love a go getter, but I really love a go giver who's really about going out and giving unto others to help them. Woo! There's a tremendous opportunity for you to have great success in the world of professional sales.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think that's incredible and advice. And so, you know, if someone wants to go into sales, they have to examine why they want to go into sales. It has to be something that they actually enjoy, the idea of helping others and giving to others. It can't just be about the money. The money should be seen as just a bonus. I think Oprah said it best, that she loves doing what she does, you know, like hosting a talk show and whatnot. And she didn't do it for the money. The money was just a bonus. And I think that's so true. You know, you have to do it because you enjoy it, because that's the only way you're going to stay in it when the times are tough. And you're not going to, you know, you won't give up because you this is something that you actually enjoy and actually gives you fulfillment. And so it helps with the perseverance and the grit that one needs when they go through those setbacks that are inevitable and whatnot. And, you know, this relates back to the networking advice that you gave us before about, you know, the importance of giving and serving others and whatnot. And it, I can tell you're a very good networker because I actually tried to send you a connection email, I think with a guy named Chris, and it turns out you guys already knew each other. And first time that ever happened. So I and so the guy was like, I guess I can just reconnect with Larry. And I thought, wow, so this guy really gets around, really builds relationships, knows a lot of people. Or maybe it's just a small world, or maybe it's just both. So my hat's off to you. And obviously you definitely have that spirit of being a go-giver. Definitely, it's the title of Bob Berg's book. He also has a book called Go Givers Sell More. So I think that's definitely a book that salespeople should definitely read. I think they'll definitely love it. So again, thank you so much for that advice. And I'm curious now, if someone is looking for advice and they work in sales already, but how to improve their or increase their sales IQ, so to speak, and they want to find a sales coach or they're seeking training. But let's say, you know, you're on vacation or you're busy training other people and, you know, obviously they can they should go to you because that'd be a great decision. But let's say you're not available. What should they do and who should they look for? How should they look for someone to help them to learn the art of sales?
I love it, Luke. You got to use all your available resources. So there's an organization that I contribute to called Sales for the Culture. It's really designed to help with, number one, recruiting blacks into professional sales, as well as retaining. And when I say retaining, it's providing the skills. providing the network and the connections, providing the insights that will help. So within this network and community, there's a ton of resources, from Kevin Dorsey to Morgan J. Ingram, the Roderick Jefferson, to Ed Ross, to, I mean, the list goes on and on. Jacob, Dewan, I mean, I can keep going. Nikki, Galen. So there's a lot of resources out there, but it's not the field of dreams. If you build it, they won't come. You've got to be proactive. You've got to be a go-getter and a go-giver and get involved. I know that there's the National Association of Women Sales Professionals to help our women sales professionals. There's a lot of resources out there, but it's up to the individual to seek them out and to get involved. Because if you just sit back, relax, and listen to the 8-track, you're going to be in the same place that you were yesterday. And ain't nobody got time for that. We're trying to take our game to that next level. So if I'm out on vacation, which I rarely vacation, but let's say I'm out, I encourage them to start on LinkedIn and look at who's talking about sales, who is in the sales world that is a good fit for you. Just because someone's a world-renowned coach doesn't mean that they're the right coach for you. You got to find that right coach for you and your style and what you're looking for and how you respond. So that would be my encouragement. The opportunity is there, but you've got to go out and get it.
Wow. That's amazing. And so if someone wants to seek help, there's help all around them. And, you know, obviously with the internet, it really helps with LinkedIn in particular. So many professionals are on LinkedIn, and I met you actually because of LinkedIn, because I connected with Lou and Sherry Everett and of the Lou Everett Group. I had them on the show as guests, and they connected me with you, introduced me to you because they said, hey, Larry would make a great guest because he has a lot of energy, and which you do. So they weren't lying about that, and so that's how I met you. And so it's interesting how, how LinkedIn is so helpful as a resource. Everyone should be on LinkedIn, you know, whether you work directly in sales or not. Definitely agree with that. And you talked about if someone wants a coach, they should obviously shop around, hold an audition, see which person they vibe with. It's got to be one person out of the thousands, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people they can meet who can teach them in sales. And it's interesting. You talked about you want to, you talked about the people you hang around with who can help you, that motivate you. You know, Jim Rohn says that everyone is the average of the five people they hang around with the most. And I think that's so true. So it goes back to that mindset of networking and building relationships. You know, go out there and try to seek a mentor, someone who can, you know, take you under their wing, so to speak, and show you the ways. You know, they can seek Larry as a mentor. And Larry, I'm sure, is a great sales coach and mentor. Or if, you know, Larry's not available, then someone else they can find through LinkedIn or someone Larry can introduce them to. And I think that there's so much resources. It's interesting how so many people tend to be blind to all this opportunity that's out there. They should definitely seek it out. And, you know, Tony Robbins says that success leaves clues. So, you know, when you hang around successful people, you can learn from them. They leave clues. There's like a trail of breadcrumbs you can follow and whatnot. So I think people really need to be taking advantage of all those resources and whatnot. And so, again, thank you so much for that advice. And it's curious. Now, obviously, you have a lot of important life lessons that you've shared with us, not just that can apply just to salespeople, to everyone. I guess everyone works in sales, so to speak. So I guess, you know, we're all salespeople, so to speak. But I'm curious, what other life lessons have you learned yourself or from others that you'd love to share with us?
That's a great question right there. I mean, and you touched on it, the importance of surrounding yourself with great people, with people that are going to encourage you, but also push you to that next level. Mediocre people hang with other mediocre people. rock stars that are about excellence surround themselves with other rock stars that are about excellence. Mm. So there's a saying, you are what you eat. And I don't want to get too personal, but I guess that would make it a fried chicken. I eat a ton of fried chicken. It is what it is. I'm in North Carolina. We got Bojangles. We got Popeyes. We got churches. You name it.
Yeah.
But when I say you are what you eat, it's more than that. It's what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you consuming into your mind, your body, and your soul? Who are you surrounding yourself with? If you surround yourself with a lot of negative Nancys, negative Nellies, guess what? Chances are you're going to be negative. Your outlook is going to be negative. I make it an intentional. I make it a habit that I watch inspirational videos, whether it's Tony Robbins, Eric Thomas, Jim Rohn, Chip Eichelberger. The list goes on and on. Will Smith, Denzel. There's a lot of positive stuff out there. David Goggins. Come on now. Mm. But that's intentional. I could be watching some craziness on TV. I try not to watch the news. I watch it, just enough news to know what's going on. But they need to call bad news. You watch the news, at least for me, I'll be in a bad mood for the next 5 days. And that's not doing me any good. It's not serving any positive purpose. So essentially, you got to be careful with what you put into your body, who you surround yourself with. That would be one of my biggest lessons. Find a good mentor. Find good mini mentors. People want to help. But once again, you got to be proactive. You got to let people know, hey, I would love your guidance. I would love your coaching. Will you be my Sherpa to help guide me through this and navigate through this four-letter word we do call life?
Wow. That's amazing advice, and thank you for sharing it. And so you talked about the importance of protecting your mindset. You know, you want to be you want to have like a bodyguard in front of your brain who lets it, or a bouncer who lets in certain things and doesn't let in other stuff, so to speak. And so it's so important that people be careful about what they're consuming, particularly with the news. And I find this to be very common. A lot of successful people limit how much news that they see and consume. And I definitely think there's something to that, and that people have to kind of be intentional. Now, you talked before about when it came to networking that people have to be intentional. I believe that to be true. You also mentioned the word proactive. You know, you have to go out and seek people. You have to go out and protect your mentality and make it more positive. I believe that to be true. You mentioned a group before called Sales for the Culture, and I want to thank you for mentioning it. This is the first time I've heard of this organization, and I think it's amazing that they help a lot of salespeople, particularly salespeople of color. And, you know, so I think that's a great organization. I'm going to check into them more and whatnot. But it's all about being intentional and being proactive, you know, making sure that, you know, you protect your mindset, because oftentimes a lot of people have what's called automatic negative thoughts or ants. And I say you have to stomp those ants, and you want to replace your negative thoughts with positive thoughts. And it's interesting how when you think positive things tend to happen, what they call the law of attraction. I don't necessarily think it's magic, but what it is that, you know, when you say to yourself, I want a red car, and, or, you know, you go outside and you see a whole bunch of red cars and you're like, where did they come from? Well, they were always there, but your antenna wasn't tuned to seeing them. So I think when you think positive, you're more likely to see those opportunities. They're always there, but you're blind to you because of the negative mindset. And I definitely think there is something to that, thinking positively. Absolutely. So again, thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, now obviously you mentioned a lot of luminaries, a lot of big names there, people like Goggins. I love Goggins. He was like an overweight guy, but became a very fit military guy, Navy SEAL, wrote a book that's a big bestseller. A lot of people have read it and whatnot. It's on my to-read list. So I absolutely love him, follow him on social media. I'm curious, what book recommendations would you give to folks?
Yeah, I'm looking right at it. David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. That's a good place to start. There's another one, Confessions of a Serial Salesman by Steve Nudelberg. And that was the sales guru that I mentioned earlier. I actually participated in his Nudelberg Daily Huddle every morning, 8 o'clock to 8:30 Eastern Time. He and his son, His son is a former football coach. Do a daily huddle filled with motivation, inspiration. They've got other content that's just uplifting, and it's just a great way to start the day. There's plenty of great books out there, sales, business-related, that that will inspire, that will provide insights from a sales perspective. Spin Selling by Neil Rackham is a good one, talking about questions and the importance of situational questions, problem questions, implication questions, needs payoff throughout the sales process, and is backed by data, which is always nice. So, yeah, I just, once again, I don't know if you've gotten this theme, but I'm all about being intentional, and I'm all about making the choice. We all have the choice to be positive. We all have the choice to go ahead and seek what it is that we're seeking. So it's kind of like what Nike says. At some point, you got to just do it.
Yeah. I'm all about that. Just do it. And thank you so much for those book recommendations. I'm definitely going to check them out. You know, it's interesting. Even for people who don't work in sales, I recommend they read sales books because we all sort of work in sales. And it's important to know how to persuade others and negotiate. You know, if you're a wife and you want to negotiate with your husband to, you know, pick up the socks in the house, you know, you can figure out how to do that, so to speak. And for other complex, more complex negotiations, if you want to buy a house, or sell your house or whatnot, or, you know, you want to persuade the boss to get a raise, so important to know how to sell. And so, yeah, even for non-salespeople, they should check out these sales books. Spin Selling, you mentioned, and whatnot. I've heard of that, but I haven't read it. So thank you so much for that. I'm curious, are you ever going to write a book yourself? Because I think you've lived an interesting life and you know quite a lot about sales.
You must be a mind reader, Luke. I'm looking at my manuscript right now and the genesis of it. I've for 47 out of the last 48 weeks, I've done a LinkedIn midweek, midday motivational minute. And I started recording them and posting the LinkedIn. At some point, I went live, started doing YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn Live. And my book is really taking seven of my favorite topics from my midweek, midday motivational minutes and putting them on into print. So I'm working on that project now. I would say probably end of this year, maybe early next year, I will have a book out. And I'm still working on the title, subtitle, but I've got the intro and at least seven chapters scoped out. So it's coming soon.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's so incredible. And so I'm definitely going to be buying that book when it comes out. And so just keep me posted. So you have at least one customer and you have to start somewhere. So I'll be getting that book.
Thank you.
And you got it. It's so important for you to write a book and to share that wisdom with others. And, you know, I think that's incredible. I think a lot of successful people need to look into writing a book. It's not as hard as people think to write a book. And I guess my other question for you then, if you're writing a book, are you ever going to create and start your own podcast?
That's a great question. I would say never say never, but it's not in my plans right now. I respect what you're doing with the podcast. But right now, I've really been laser focused on the online on-demand sales training course, my book, as well as I've been really fortunate and blessed to have organizations, for-profit, nonprofit, education, bring me in for speaking engagements. Just a few weeks ago, I spoke to a sales team out of Lagos, Nigeria. The week after that, I had a team in London, England, and I've got other engagements that are popping up both domestically as well as internationally. So those are kind of my core focus areas now. But like I said, never say never.
Definitely. Well, I think you'd make a great podcast host, and I would definitely listen to it. And but obviously, you got a lot of things on your plate, and you know, you could always do it 2 years from now or 3 years from now and whatnot. I just wanted to, by the way, thank you for being a guest on the show. It's been an enlightening and educational conversation, and I know the audience feels the same way Can you go ahead and describe the ways that people can reach out and connect with you if they want to use or know someone who can use your services, or if they want to put a dynamic center of influence in their network?
I truly appreciate that, Luke. The best way to connect with me right now is on LinkedIn, Larry Long Jr. You'll see I got a Kool-Aid smile. I got the face for radio, a smile for a mile. Larry Long Jr. on LinkedIn.
Got it. Thank you so much for that, Larry. And, again, thank you for coming on the show. That information, by the way, will be in the episode description box so everyone can see it and read it. Again, thank you for being a guest. Thank you to the folks in the audience. I'm going to be seeing you guys in the next episode. Everyone, take care and have a wonderful day.
Thanks again, Luke. Take care now.
You got it. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.